Let's take a question now from Paddy Kelly. Paddy.
With over 26,000 deaths now in Gaza, when will the UK government ask for a ceasefire?
Now, the UK government has talked about a humanitarian pause, a humanitarian ceasefire, by which it means temporary. When, Paddy's question is, will the UK government call for a ceasefire?
So the Foreign Secretary is very clear that he's talking to Israel and to America and he wants a ceasefire, talking also to the Palestinians. But it has to be what he calls a lasting ceasefire, would be that the hostages are returned to Israel and Hamas lay down their arms and cease to be leading the Palestinians in the strip. Until that happens, there has to be continued negotiations to bring something about. But at the moment, the Israelis had an atrocity imposed upon them, a massacre of horrific proportions. They feel that they cannot do a ceasefire with people who are firing rockets into their territory. So we are very focused on trying to get a ceasefire, but it has to be a lasting, meaningful ceasefire, and it cannot be unilateral.
And when might that happen? Is there any sense in the negotiations that David Cameron is having as to whether that is a remote, even a remote possibility, given that Netanyahu, Israeli Prime Minister, is saying there'll be no ceasefire until we get exactly what we want?
Yes. It's a very intractable situation. We've got a situation where humanitarian is going in. We've paused with the UN RWA because of the situation we've discovered there in terms of their links with Hamas and being terrorists. So that's difficult. But we're trying to find
by a very small number.
Yeah, by 10%. So we're trying to get aid in through other sources, through Red Cross, etc. And conversations are going on. Britain's been very clear that we want a two-state solution to this. But at the end of the day, Israel, as a sovereign state, had a terrorist attack impinged upon them, and they need to remove that threat before they can have any sense of a ceasefire.
Patrick.
Israel did experience an atrocity committed against them on October the 7th, and I doubt for one moment that anybody will fail to condemn that atrocity. But since then, Israel has responded by unleashing an atrocity of far greater thousands of deaths that have been caused. The vast amount of displacement. I mean, the huge majority of that population have been physically displaced, their homes razed to the ground and turned to rubble. It is, of course, absolutely essential that there's a ceasefire. It does need to be multilateral. There does need to be the release of hostages as well. But you can at least call for it. You can at least say that is what must happen. And the idea... the idea that we now withdraw the urgently needed humanitarian aid from an organisation that's delivering it, I think that is obscene. What this is at root, though, as well, is a long-standing, generational injustice. And we should not be surprised if the people of Palestine have been told, have been shown, that a peaceful path to statehood will be blocked. We should not be surprised if from among them those who favour a violent path emerge as leaders. If we want them to choose the peaceful path to statehood, we need to make sure that that peaceful path is open to them. And that means recognising the state of Palestine.
Just to echo what Patrick said, I think a ceasefire is crucial, but I also think what is crucial is that the UK government is held to account for their role in licensing arms
Absolutely.
To Israel at the moment.
I just have to express my view. I have never been more upset and disappointed in our current government with how they have dealt with the situation.
Do you mean the UK government or the Scottish government?
The UK government, apologies. Whether it's the Conservative Party and even the Labour Party, it's an absolute disgrace. How many lives need to be lost? We are between 25,000 to 30,000 Gazan lives, people who have done nothing wrong. I completely echo what you say. Israel do have a right to defend themselves, absolutely. but at the risk of, not at the risk, the death, murder of 25,000 to 30,000 people who have done nothing wrong. I can't understand this.
Ian, what's your response to that? Because the leader of the Labour Party, the UK Labour Party, Keir Starmer, has made it quite clear that he does take the government line in terms of a humanitarian pause, but not calling for an outright ceasefire. Is that your view?
I think what's been said is that any country has the right to defend themselves, but it's not a blank cheque. And I think what essentially Israel has been doing is cashing a blank cheque, with nobody able to hold them to account for that. Now, there has been a humanitarian pause. We all hoped and thought that might be the launch pad to something more permanent. But the key question we've all got to ask ourselves is, we all want a ceasefire, but how do you get there? And it seems at the moment that everyone seems pretty powerless to get anywhere towards it. Qatar and Egypt are putting proposals forward as we understand it. There's a new quartet coming together. America's trying to put pressure on. But I just think the whole situation is completely out of control.
And so which Labour leader's line do you support? Is it Keir Starmer's, who's not calling for a ceasefire, or is calling for a pause? Do you support the Labour leader in Scotland's line that there should be an immediate ceasefire?
He's calling for a sustainable ceasefire towards a permanent process to peace.
But the Labour leader in Scotland is calling for an immediate ceasefire.
Yes.
Which do you support?
Which Sir Starmer said quite clearly, but you have to have the conditions on the ground to deliver it. And that's got to be the key.
So which do you support? Immediate ceasefire? I'm just trying to get clear.
Well, everyone wants to stop this and wants to stop it yesterday. So that's
not in dispute. But you've got Anna Sowell, the Labour leader in Scotland, saying they should be supporting the SNP's course for an immediate ceasefire. You've got Keir Starmer, who is not taking that line. I'm wondering which line you support.
But the key line that's been taken is that we want to get towards that permanent ceasefire.
Sure, but which of those two views do you support?
Everyone, but they want a ceasefire.
Yes, but they're taking a different approach to
it. It's exactly the same thing. They're saying the same thing.
They're not saying the same
thing. But they need the conditions on the ground to get there. So
I mean, there have been resignations over this. They're not saying the same thing.
Yes, and you know.
So which do you support? I'll give it one more go. Which line do you support?
The line that I support is to try and find the conditions on the ground to get towards a permanent ceasefire.
So that sounds like Keir Starmer.
That's where you've got to get.
But
there's no other option on the ground here. I mean, whether you
is it clear to you?
No.
All right.
Whether Patrick Harvey is correct or anyone else, you've got to get to the situation where you get that ceasefire. So unless you're talking about unilateral ceasefire,
UK Labour government
then that's fine.
The state of Palestine.
Yes. And of course, you can't have a two-state solution without having two states. In order to have two states, you've got to recognise one as being a state, and therefore that is indeed correct. You would recognise Palestine as a state.
Let's hear a bit more from us. The man in the blue jacket.
Hi, it's a question for Patrick. Patrick, if the shoe was on the other foot and it was your family that was involved in the Israel troubles and Hamas came in and murdered your full entire family, would you not want every single stone unturned to get your hands in these terrorists?
Yes, I think everybody in that situation would want those who are responsible for an atrocity held accountable for an atrocity. What I hope I would never give in to is the idea of blaming an entire population, holding them accountable. What we've seen in recent days is not only that continuing violence. We have seen ministers in the Israeli government dancing and laughing at the idea of driving Palestinians out of Gaza altogether and beginning a programme of Israeli settlements in Palestinian territory. Some of this comes with rhetoric that is nothing less than genocidal, and it needs to be called out. President.
The sort of tragic thing is that if Britain calls for a ceasefire or not, that won't hold much sway in Israel. What will hold sway is what the United States wants. The United States is there with its aircraft carrier giving the military support to Israel. So I think Joe Biden is the one who's able to pull the strings here. Now, that's why I was quite encouraged to see that there were reports of just coming out from America now about talks held in Paris last weekend. The Mossad was there, and there seems to be the outlines of an agreement of a ceasefire. It would come in three stages. In the first stage, there would be a ceasefire, and then meanwhile, Hamas would get the Israeli hostages, get ready to return them back to their families. In stage two, they would get female Israeli soldiers would be released who are being held captive, and you would get humanitarian aid restored. And phase three, if it gets to that, would be the more senior prisoner swaps. Now, to me, this sounds like a plan. It sounds like a plausible way out of this détente. And America is the only country, I think, that can really have influence in that region and try to get some kind of settlement. So, look, again, you never know if these things are going to come true or not, but I think the whole world has been sickened, absolutely sickened, by the sights that we've seen in the Middle East in the last few weeks. And it could well be that we are about to reach the beginning of the end.
Okay. And there in the blue top.
The UK government calls for a ceasefire because we have no influence. Mm. It's up to between the Israelis and Hamas to come to an agreement. Hamas are terrorists, they won't come to an agreement. So it won't be a ceasefire until Hamas release all the hostages and give up their arms. So it's not going to happen. But I'm more inclined, why is Patrick Harvey, Kate Forbes, why is the Scottish government calling for a ceasefire? Foreign policy has nothing to do with Holyrood. Holyrood is a branch of the UK government. It's supposed to work with it, not against it. And we're seeing with the COVID inquiry, they actually used it as a battering ram. People dying, and they wanted to use it as a battering ram against the UK government because they wanted their army. Holyrood should be shut down. It's time for it to be quite time for this. It was a bad experiment. It was a good idea at the time. Close it down. Time for it to go.
A serious issue, because I think we could accept, can we not, that even when you don't necessarily hold the power to do something, you at least need to recognise what's right and wrong in what you say. And I think when it comes to the Middle East, let's remember who's paying the price here. It's women and girls. In a war, women and girls pay the price. From the 7th of October and the atrocities committed against Israelis, but look at the atrocities committed against women. And in Gaza, 13,000 children killed and tens of thousands more probably left orphaned, isolated, separated from their families. So that is the most weighty imperative to bring this to a conclusion. But the conclusion must ensure that there is safety and freedom for civilians, that these atrocities will never be committed again, that hostages will be released, and that Palestinian people who have no part to play in terrorism, no part to play in it, can live freely. So I agree with the sentiment in the question and wish those that are negotiating and committed to negotiating the best in order to bring this to a swift conclusion.
But you also need both sides to act in good faith. And I think some of the examples that Patrick have given about the way that some Israeli politicians have acted, and then on the other side a terrorist organisation, that just shows you how difficult it is to bring this together. And do we have both parties in this who have been brought to the table acting in good faith? And I think that's a big question mark of whether or not they are.
We will also return to this question without doubt. I'm going to move on now to...